This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most beloved person in all of human history. And when he left this earth, the Sahaba and Tabi'un and the later generations began writing about him. The first book of Seerah, the first treatise of Seerah, was actually written by the sons of the Sahaba. They wrote it for their own records. And eventually Ibn Hisham comes along, Ibn Ishaq comes along, and he takes it from the sons and the grandsons of the Sahaba. But it wasn't just the life and times that our scholars wrote about. And today I'm going to introduce you to one genre, one subset of the writings that our scholars have done, and talk a little bit about that. So to give you a brief overview, Seerah is of course the chronological incidents of what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it wasn't the only subject that our scholars were interested in. And very early on, they began writing in other subjects and fields about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So for example, one of the genres of writing about the Prophet is called Shama'il. And the most famous book of Shama'il is by Imam al-Tirmidhi. So Imam al-Tirmidhi, who wrote the famous Sunan, he wrote a book, Al-Shama'il. And there are over a dozen books about Shama'il. What is Shama'il? Shama'il are the physical characteristics of the Prophet and his akhlaq and mannerisms and his possessions. Shama'il will talk about his plate. We'll talk about his clothes, we'll talk about his ring, we'll talk about his sword. This is the genre of Shama'il. So many books written. Another genre, that's not our genre today, another genre that scholars wrote about, it is called Dala'il, Dala'il al-Nubuwa. Dala'il al-Nubuwa, the proofs of prophethood. How do you know he's a prophet? So people began writing treatises called Dala'il al-Nubuwa. And the largest and most famous was written by Imam al-Bayhaqi. He died 458 Hijrah. It is in 12 volumes. Dala'il al-Nubuwa. How do you know he's a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Of every single miracle in the whole seerah. So the water coming from his hands. Small amount of food being made, a lot. The Shaqq al-Qamar incident. All of these things are reported in these books called Dala'il. But that too is not our talk for today. I want to introduce you to all these genres so that you know, right? So we talked about how many genres so far? No, number one is Seerah. The number one Seerah, the many books of Seerah. Number two, Shama'il. Number three, Dala'il. Okay, number four, and it's still not our topic. Number two, four, Fada'il al-Nubuwa. Fada'il al-Nubuwa. Fada'il al-Nubuwa means what are the blessings our Prophet has? What are the things that Allah gave him that makes him fadila, that makes him blessed? And this is another genre. We have so many books in this. And perhaps the most famous one is Ash-Shifa by Al-Qadi Iyad. Maybe you have heard of it, and it is translated to English. But that's also our genre for today. We're going to jump to another one, and that will be our genre for today. And that is a very rare book to be written about. There's probably less than half a dozen in all of early and medieval Islam, but in our times people have raised the topic more because it is a subset of the fada'il. It's a subset, and that is khasa'is al-nubuwa. That's our topic for today. Khasa'is al-nubuwa. And what is khasa'is al-nubuwa? Khasa'is al-nubuwa is those aspects that are unique to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nobody else has them. That's not the same as fada'il. Fadila, there's lots of fadilas he has and other prophets have, right? Khasa'is, yani khas, unique. Khasa'is, only he has it. And this genre, it took a while to start writing about because it's actually, the earlier scholars didn't have full treaties on it. Perhaps the first one to write a treatise is Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, who died 660 Hijrah. He was one of the first to write, and in fact, the book is literally like 50 pages. It's a treatise. It's not a massive book. But once the idea was created, subhanAllah, it's like a domino effect. Once Al-Izz wrote the book, then people became eager and they began writing and began researching that what are the khasa'is of Nubuwa. So we have Ibn Mulaqqin, write a bigger treatise. Al-Hafid ibn Hajar died 840 Hijra. He wrote an even bigger volume until finally the great polymath and the great author, perhaps the author who has written the most volumes in all of Islamic history, Jalaluddin al-Suyuti, who died 911 Hijra. So Jalaluddin al-Suyuti, he wrote a massive book called Al-Khasa'is al-Kubra, the big Khasa'is book. In all of early Islam, nobody wrote a book larger than Imam al-Suyuti. And then after him, recent times, people have written PhDs, dissertations, whatnot. So this is the genre I want to share some light on. Because obviously, you know, we all love the seerah. I love the seerah. I love to research. I love to read. And I love to conceptualize what the past has been done and what we can do. So we can divide. By the way, this is a quick lecture. The reality is Khasa'is would take many hours. We cannot do all of them. I want to introduce you the idea. We can divide the Khasa'is of the Prophet ﷺ into three large categories. And I'll give you examples from all three. But again, I'm making the disclaimer, this is not a full list because it's just a khatir after Isha. Okay? So we can divide the Khasa'is of the Prophet ﷺ into three categories. Category number one, those things that out of his ummah, only he was allowed and not the rest of his ummah. So a privilege for him. And we're not comparing him with the other prophets. Just for him, amongst the rest of the ummah, he has khasa'is. This is category one. And some of these are fiqhi khasa'is, and some of these are theological khasa'is. So for example, of the khasa'is al-nubuwa, that is in category one. Remember, there's three categories, so don't lose track. Category one of the khasa'is. This microphone keeps on falling off. Of the khasa'is, number one, Allah has said to him, you don't need any protection, I will protect you. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. It is said in Sunan at-Tirmidhi that, in fact, the Sahaba would volunteer to bodyguard the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca. When Allah revealed this verse, the Prophet ﷺ lifted his curtain, his house, and there was Abu Ayyub and others standing, Abu Sa'id, and he said to them, don't worry, Allah has said he will protect me, I don't need you anymore. No need to volunteer as bodyguards. So the Prophet ﷺ has been divinely protected. In that, what does it mean? Nobody can hurt him. Nobody can abuse him. Nobody can physically pain him. No, nobody can kill him. This is what the protection is. He will never be assassinated by anybody in this dunya. Allah will protect him. And throughout the seerah, he was physically harmed. He was pushed. Astaghfirullah, people spat on him. The Quraysh threw the animal on him. He was hurt. But any time somebody actually tried to kill him, what happened? Miracle. Any time somebody moved beyond physical to assassination, and there's at least four or five assassination attempts, every single time, unscathed. Never, not a hair on his head touched when the assassination attempt was done. This is a khasa'is, khasisa. Another khasisa, another khas thing, is that the Prophet's shaitan embraced Islam. Qareen. The Prophet's shaitan, you know, everyone's born in a shaitan qareen, right? When they asked, Ya Rasulullah, you also have a qareen? He goes, yes, I have a qareen too. I also have a qareen, but my qareen embraced Islam. This is a khas for him. Another thing khas for him, for our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that because his qareen has embraced Islam, and because the shayateen cannot imitate him, whoever sees him in a dream has seen him as if in real. No shaytan can pretend to be him. This is khas to him. Whereas if you see anybody else, maybe you saw that person, maybe it's your imagination, you didn't actually see him, or maybe it's, astaghfirullah, impersonation. Not for the Prophet ﷺ. Another khas for the Prophet ﷺ, the fiqh issue. You're not allowed to call him by his name or his kunya. It's not allowed, right? Allah says in the Quran, لَا تَجْعَلُوا دُعَاءَ رَسُولِ بَيْنَكُمْ كَدُعَاءِ بَعْضِكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't call the Prophet ﷺ like you call each other. So it is not allowed for any Muslim to say astaghfirullah in front of his face, Ya Muhammad or Ya Abul Qasim. Not allowed. We say Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabiyallah. We call him by his title. So it is not allowed. Another khas of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there's many examples here, is the status of our mothers. So he was allowed more than any other person is allowed. Those wives that become his wives, they have a special status of hijab. They have a special status of iddah. They have a special status of not getting married. So overall, our mothers have a special khas that no one else has. Another khasa'is of the Prophet ﷺ that no other person has is that the angel of death has to ask permission to take his life. The angel of death has to ask his permission. Another khasa'is is that he will be buried where he passes away. And another khasa'is, we'll conclude with this, move on to the second one. Another khasa'is is the earth will not eat his body. You all know this one. See, these are some of the khasa'is that belong to him without his ummah. The second category, the khasa'is given to him alone above all the other prophets that are related to this world. In this world, what is unique to him? And the third category, in the akhirah, what is unique to him? Okay, so the second and third category are higher than the first one. So what is unique to him that no other prophet before him was given? Number one, Allah promised to protect his revelation. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. The Quran is protected cover to cover. The Quran is preserved beginning to end. This is a fundamental aspect of our aqidah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to protect it. As for other books, Allah did not promise to protect them. And Allah says in the Quran, وَالرَّحْبَانِيُّ وَالْأَحْبَارُ بِمَا اسْتُحْفِظُوا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The rabbis and the priests, they were the ones who attempted to protect the book that Allah gave them. الرَّبَّانِيُّ وَالْأَحْبَارُ بِمَا اسْتُحْفِظُوا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Rabbanis and Ahbars were the ones who protected Allah's book, and they failed. As for the Quran, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra. So this is another khasisa only given to him. Another khasiyya given to him is that the Quran itself, we can say, has many unique things, and there are many ahadith under this. Again, I'm being very quick here. So for example, the Prophet ﷺ said that Surah Al-Fatiha has not been given to any other prophet. There's nothing like Surah Al-Fatiha. For example, the Prophet ﷺ said that Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah is coming straight from the Arsh of Ar-Rahman, and no other revelation has Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah. For example, the Prophet ﷺ said that I have been given the seven long surahs instead of the Torah, and I have been given the Mi'in surahs instead of the Zabur, and I have been given the Mathani instead of the Injil, and I have been preferred with the Mufassal. This is a deep hadith here. In other words, in the Quran you have the Torah, Zabur, Injil, and you have more. You have all that is needed and you have more. This is a khassa for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of the specialities given to him is that he is obviously Khatimul Anbiya. No other Prophet is Khatimul Anbiya. Of the specialities given to him is that he has been sent to jinn and ins. No Prophet has been sent to both of them. Of the khasiyya given to him is that he has been called rahmatan lil alamin, and no prophet before him has been called rahmatan lil alamin. Of the specialities that he has been blessed with, and no other prophet, is that Allah allowed all of the prophets to meet because of him. Never before has this occurred. And that is, of course, in Isra al-Mi'raj. And the Prophet ﷺ then led them in salah. This is a khasiyya that there is no comparison with any other prophet. And that's why we call him that Khatam al-Anbiya and Imam al-Mursaleen. He is the Imam of all of the Rusul. How can this not be a khasiyya given to him? So all of these are khasiyyas given to him in this world. And then the final category are khasiyya given to him in the next life. Things that only he has and no other prophet has. And again, this is not a comprehensive list. Number one, the Prophet ﷺ said, I shall be the first person that the earth will cleft asunder and be resurrected. أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُشَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَبْرِ. The first qabr to be cracked open and the first person to come up, it shall be me. So judgment day will begin with the resurrection of the Prophet ﷺ. It will begin with his resurrection. So he is the one that is starting the whole resurrection on that day. Of the specialities given to him, the Prophet ﷺ said that on that day Allah will hand me the flag for mankind. So it looks like all of the species, and I went over this in detail when I had my lectures in this masjid when I first came here 5 years ago. We went over the series of the Day of Judgment and the signs of the Day of Judgment and the actual Day of Judgment, went over all of that. So it appears that species will be resurrected. And there will be a representative for every species. And our Prophet ﷺ will be holding the flag of praise, liwa al-hamd. He is representing mankind. Allah will give him that flag. Of the khasiyya, specialities on that day, as we know from the hadith, that all of mankind will be so worried, they're going to hunt for somebody to beg Allah to get the Day of Judgment over with. Let's just start and get it done with. And they're going to go to all the prophets. Eventually, they will go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is called Maqam al-Mahmood. One person shall signal the request to begin actual judgment. And that will be our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Maqam al-Mahmood, what is it? The Maqam al-Mahmood is one person will signal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah, I should say, beg Allah to start the Day of Judgment, to begin it all. Because people are getting worried and people are getting very panicked and whatnot. So they're going to make shafa'a to Adam, to Nuh, to Ibrahim, to Musa, to Isa. Each one will say, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, until they come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the Maqam al-Mahmood. He said, I will go to the throne of Allah and I will prostrate in front of the throne. So he will be the only person up front representing mankind. And that will be the initiation of the hisab. When the Prophet lifts his head, then the mizan will come down, then the scales will come, and the actual hisab will begin. This is unique only to him. Of the khasiyya given to him is that Jannah, well, before we get to Jannah, even the Sirat, is that he shall be the first to cross over the Sirat. When Anas ibn Malik said, it's a very, very beautiful hadith, it's a very loving hadith, very nice hadith. When Anas ibn Malik said, Ya Rasulullah, on the Day of Judgment, there's going to be so many people, how will I find you? Look where his mind is going. He was just a kid at the time. Where will I, how will I find you? So the Prophet ﷺ said, you will find me at the Hawd, at the cistern, at the pool. By the way, is the Hawd unique to the Prophet ﷺ? Is it from his khasiyya? We went over this in detail 5 years ago. 5 years ago, right here. But you've all forgotten. Every prophet is given a hawd. Every prophet is given a hawd. But our Prophet will have the largest hawd. That's going to be his khasiyya. As for the hawd, every prophet will be given it, and they're going to be calling their ummas. But our Prophet is given the largest hawd. So hawd is not khasiyya. So Anas ibn Malik said that you will find me at the, he told Anas, you will find me at the hawd. He goes, what if I don't find you there? He goes, then I'll be waiting for you at the sirat, making dua for my ummah as they cross over. So he's going to be waiting at the sirat, waiting for his ummah, making dua for his ummah to cross over on the other side. And he shall be the first to cross over the sirat, and he will stop there waiting for the rest of his ummah to come. So this is a khasiyya of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can add here, the hawd is not unique, but one thing is unique, and that is the water of his hawd will be unique. The hawd is not unique. Every prophet is going to have a hawd, but the water in the hawd of the Prophet, where will it come from? Where will it come from? Al-Kawthar. And Al-Kawthar is one of his unique blessings. One of the khasiyya of the Prophet, Inna a'tainaka Al-Kawthar. And what is Al-Kawthar? Al-Kawthar is the primary river and tributary of Jannah. All of the other rivers, or there's an ikhtilaf here. Some scholars say there's three main rivers, some say there's four main rivers, and some say there's one main river and the other three, you know, branch into them. You know, we don't have a geographic map of Jannah. Inshallah, when we get there, we can draw one out, inshallah ta'ala. But without a doubt, the largest fountain, and the largest river and the most blessed river is Al-Kawthar. And that river is gifted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the hawd on the Qiyamah is going to get a tap from the heavens, and the Kawthar will be feeding into the hawd. Understand this point. The Kawthar is not on the Day of Judgment. The Kawthar is in Jannah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will tap in to the Kawthar. There's going to be mizabs. There's going to be spouts from Jannah. And those spouts will be above my hawd. So the hawd will get the water from the Kawthar. That is khasiyya, not the hawd. You get the point? the water of the Haud and the source of the Haud. That is unique to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then let's finish up here. Two more things that we're done, inshallah. One of the last things that were mentioned here, the khasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I shall be the first to knock on the doors of Jannah. And I shall be the first because of whom the doors are open. And then he said, and I will be awwalu man yadkhulul Jannah. Obviously, the first person to enter Jannah out of all of mankind will be our Prophet. That is without a doubt a khasiyah to him. And then of course the final khasiyah that we mentioned, and without a doubt the greatest one of all, it is al-wasila. الوسيلة اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه on the day of judgment مقام المحمود مقام المحمود وبعثه مقام المحمود يوم القيامة وسيلة. What is the وسيلة? Our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said الوسيلة درجة في الجنة. وسيلة is one entire level of Jannah. And it is a'la al-jannah. And it is a'la al-firdaus. And it is underneath the throne of ar-Rahman. And it's an entire level, a whole floor or a whole earth if you like. And it is meant for one person. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, arju, I hope I am that person. Arju, I hope that I am that person. And of course, we know he is that person because there is nobody else that is going to get the wasila. In his modesty, he said, arju an akuna minhu. But in reality, we know it is him. And that's why we make dua for him to get the wasila, the highest level of Jannah, which is above everybody else, understandably, and that is called al-wasila. And al-wasila means the connection to Allah. That's because it's a connection, it's the close to Allah, and that is without a doubt the biggest blessing that our Prophet ﷺ has, to be the highest in Jannah. And these are just some of the khasa'is of the Prophet ﷺ. In reality, there are many more than these, but I want to conclude on this point. Every khasa'is giving to him, it is also a blessing for us because we are his ummah. So when he is raised, then if we love him and if we attach ourselves to him, we will also be raised. So love the Prophet ﷺ, read his seerah, follow as much as you can of his instructions and sunnah. Perchance, insha'Allah ta'ala, his blessings will trickle down, no matter how small, to me and you. And that is going to be more than enough for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May he allow us to drink from the Haud. May he allow us to be sheltered under the shade of Allah. May he allow us to have the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be with him in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Muhammadin wa ali wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.